Since 3 o'clock this afternoon, praise the Lord. But I thank God that I have a little common sense. And we don't plan to be before you all night long, because I don't want anybody to tell their Sunday school superintendent I was too tired to make it to Sunday school because this little bald-head preacher from Oceanside kept us in church all night long. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse number 15. And just for the sake of time, I'm just going to go ahead and read it while some of you are still looking for it. It says, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. And then I'll flip over a few pages to Job 42 so we can get the conclusion of the matter. Job 42 and 10. When you're there, say amen. Amen. And it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Somebody repeat after me. Hope believes it.
Hope believes it.
Faith achieves it.
Faith achieves it.
Come on, let's say that again. Hope believes it.
Hope believes it.
And faith achieves it.
Faith.
Now just hold on to that for just a minute. I do give honor to God who's ahead of my life, to his precious son, Jesus Christ. I thank God that he saved me one day when I was a teenager. Hallelujah. Fill me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank God that for some reason he proved to me he had a sense of humor and decided he wanted me to preach the gospel. And I said yes. I had no more sense than to say yes. And so I thank God that I'm here tonight before such a great crowd of witnesses, the people of God here at Voices of Victory National Convocation. Praise the Lord. I thank God for, first of all, let me just thank God for the prelude. Come on, y'all help me just thank God for the prelude. Really, y'all can do better than that. Come on, y'all can do better than that. This is your bishop. Because he's such a good friend of mine, he's my bishop too. Amen. 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 Now, y'all made me feel better. I don't know about him, but you made me feel better. Thank you so much. Amen. What a great man of God who has put his hand to the plow, and regardless of what the ground looked like, he just keep on plowing. Praise the Lord. So we appreciate him on tonight. Certainly thank God for the other bishops that are here. I don't want to start calling names because I will probably forget someone. Praise the Lord. But I thank God for the distinguished men of God here. My fellow yokemen, praise God. The pastors that are here, the ministers that are here. Praise the Lord. God bless every one of you in your respective places. It's so good to see the Frasers here, my friends. I haven't seen in quite some time. Praise the Lord. And I know that songbird over there. Praise God. I still have the CDs every now and then. I just need an uplift and just stick it in. Praise God. Listen to that songbird. Praise the Lord. Sister Cheryl Gibson, Fraser, praise God. So we thank God for them seeing you all again. Praise the Lord. And thank God for my dear friend, Elder Dr. Mason, Gerald Mason, who came from Oceanside with me. Wave your hand, Elder Mason. Amen. Praise God. One of our administrative assistants there at the Friendly Church of God in Christ in Oceanside, California. Praise God. Where our pastor is, the Dr. Thomas E. Hammonds. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for him. I want you to keep praying for him. Praise the Lord. He's what some people would say in the twilight. I guess when you get over 80, you get into the twilight years, praise the Lord. But I just remind him that my daddy's over 80 and he's doing well. I think Elder Mason's dad's over 90 and he's doing well. He's cutting grass and driving around just like they're 20-something years old, praise the Lord. So I know that God is able because he has proven it to me. I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm not talking about what I've read. I'm talking about what I've seen and experienced for myself, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord, praise God. We thank God for the privilege tonight. Thank God for the privilege tonight to stand before the people of God. I told the bishop, I'm not sure why he asked me, praise God. I look at all these great dynamic preachers in here, praise the Lord. And I just said to myself, Lord, I thank you for the favor. I thank you for the privilege to stand once again before the people of God. I won't take it lightly, praise God. And I just thank God for this privilege. Bishop, thank you once again for allowing me to come and be a part of this great convocation. You're doing a great work for the Lord. I want you to be encouraged, praise God, because your labor is not in vain, praise God. Amen. Anybody believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God once again. Let's clap our hands again for these great musicians. Woo! I started out on the drums, and then I went to the keyboard, praise God, but you can make more noise sometime with that over there, praise God. And the Bible just said make a joyful noise. He didn't say you had to be on beat or nothing like that. Just bang, praise God. Amen. But he was banging them good, praise the Lord. And we thank God tonight, praise the Lord. I just want to share a few words with you on tonight. I'm not going to try to encompass all of your theme. You have such a wonderful theme talking about that fresh hope, praise God, and Bill, because I just have a feeling that on tomorrow, at the whole conclusion of the convocation, that somebody is going to deal with that quite adequately. So I just felt it would be more appropriate for me tonight to just deal with a piece of it. Is that all right? And so I just want to deal with the hope.
All right.
And then I want to build upon the hope.
All right.
Hallelujah. Is that all right? Let me just say here that as I begin here, that some of you all may know Reverend Jesse Jackson. Let's see. Yeah, everybody should know him. I got a little one in here that's probably under 15 years old. She may go, Reverend who? Praise the Lord. But Reverend Jesse Jackson, he coined a phrase back in the 1900s. I don't know exactly when, but some of you all remember he used to say, keep what? I knew you knew it too. Keep hope alive. And as I look around the church, and as I look around Christendom today, and I see and observe and I hear what's happening, I feel this quote is relevant for the church today. We are struggling in all imaginable ways. And one common denominator I found out with people who are suicidal is that they lose hope.
All right.
They lose hope because they figure that there is no escape or solution for their circumstances. Yeah. People of God, we must hold on to the hope that God has given us. For our hope is built on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I also realize that for some, things seem to have gotten worse over the years. Some of y'all like me bought homes here in Southern California earlier in 2003, 2004, 2005, and so on. And then when the market busted, we flipped upside down. So for some of us, things just seem to be going downhill, but I'm so glad the market is coming back up. Thank you, Jesus. So soon and very soon, I just believe, and I just have enough hope to believe that we're going to be flipped right side up. Amen, somebody? Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. We must hold on to what God has given us. And although things seem to be changing and changing, we get a new administration, we get a new mayor, we get a new councilman, we get a new governor, things just begin to change all the time. One thing remains the same, and that's God Himself. I found out for myself that He's still Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's still Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He's still Jehovah Nissi, our banner. He's still El Shaddai, ah, God Almighty. He is still the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He still sits high and looks low. He is the same God that parted the Red Sea, sent manna from heaven, let rotten water come out of a rock, raised Jesus from the dead, and saved me 35 years ago. God never changes. The psalmist David said over in 39:7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." And I just want to park right there for a few minutes and talk to you a little bit about hope. And then I want to build upon this thing called hope. It reminds me that when I was growing up, they used to talk about the four-letter words. But as I got older, I found out there were some good four-letter words. And this is one of them. Another one is work. I'm going to leave that alone. I found out, Bishop, everybody don't like the word. My God. But over in Hebrews 11:1, we find out that this word called hope and this word called faith are actually related to one another. For the Bible says, now faith is the substance or the promise of things hoped for. So if you don't have hope, you can't have faith. You can have hope with no faith, but you can't have faith without hope. Because if you don't believe me, take a look at it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Therefore, if you don't have hope, then faith has no substance to work with. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. Hope is our conscious and subconscious thoughts that activate our faith. Hope isn't passive. It's passive because it deals with our thought process. But faith is an action word because it goes beyond what we think and enters into the realm of activity.
All right.
Hope deals with our head and faith deals with our feet. You see, hope motivates and stimulates, and faith propels us into action. Have I got a witness here? Hope plants the thought, and faith executes the thought. Hope says, I trust that the Lord will bless me to buy a home. And faith says, I'm going down to the bank and get my loan. Hope looks outside and says, you know what? I hope it doesn't rain today. But faith says, I'm leaving my umbrella in the house. Is this making any sense to anybody? There's a difference. When I was in the primary zone, as they say, for promotion to Lieutenant Colonel, my hope said, I believe I will make the promotion list. But my faith said, then go on down to the store and buy that silver leaf so you can put it on your uniform when your name shows up on the list. And I followed my faith. And I went and bought it. And I brought it home. And I must have had the wrong motives, Bishop Frazier, because I didn't make it. And I set it on the table. And I testified to my family. And I said, I'm going to make this list. Oh, God, help me today. I'm helping somebody right now. But look what happened. I didn't make it. And so a phone rang, and my boss said, I'm sorry to tell you, but you didn't make the Lieutenant Colonel's promotion list. Now, self said, you know what? That's a crying shame, and I deserve a pity party. So self said, let's just take about 30 seconds. And so I went down into my little private room and closed the door, and I had myself about a 30-second pity party, and I heard the Spirit of God say, you done now. And I got up from where I was having my pity party, and I said, okay, God, let's go. Hallelujah. And we just marched right out. church to tell the saints that I didn't make the promotion list. And then I'm going to start shouting. I saw it in my mind. I got a vision of what was going to happen. Praise God. And when I got to church, just what God showed me happened. Praise God. I began to tell them how good God is. And I began to testify and tell them that I had faith enough to believe. Praise God. But it didn't happen for me. And then I just began to shout all over the church. Praise God. And I know they were looking at me going, I thought he said he didn't make it. What are you so happy about? But I knew where promotions came from. And so this is what I did. I said, I told God, I said, if this is the way you want it, I will accept it. Somebody said, accept what God allows. One thing I found out, I might not be the greatest leader, but I'm the best follower you're going to find anywhere. So when the church told me, just accept what God allows, I said, I'm going to do what they told me in the church. I went back to the store, and I bought the brightest, the best majors, brass that I could find. I said, if I'm going out like this, I'm going to be the best looking major in the United States Army. I mean, I was clean from head to toe, praise God. And then the next year came along, and my phone rang again. And the man said, come up here to my office. I want to show you something. Long story short, praise God, I was on the list this time. Now, I said that, I shared that because I want to help somebody who's in that stupor that I was in for 30 seconds.
Right. What's up? What's up? Talk to us.
God has made us promises, and he never gives you a check that's going to bounce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope. Hope is the start of the walk of faith. Hope believes you can have it someday. Watch this now. Watch this. But faith believes that you can have it now. And it starts in your heart. Hope is the possibility, and faith is the surety. Faith transforms our hopes into realities. Hope is the raw material from which faith builds the house. Therefore, the purpose, somebody say the purpose. The purpose of hope and faith is to transform our godly desires into reality. How many of you know that life can literally strangle the life out of you? Look at your neighbor and say, if you let it.
Yeah.
No, say it with an attitude, if you let it. You know how you raise your eyebrows up and say, if you let it. Yeah. If you let it. Some of y'all, I'm not looking at nobody. Some of y'all fight more since you've been in the church. All right. I'm an invited guest. I better be here to tell you, Holy Ghost. The Bible says over in the first chapter of Job that God was having a conversation with the devil, and he said, have you considered my servant Job? So tonight, let's just consider Job. The Bible lets us know that Job was a man who was perfect and upright. Job was a man that had the favor of God upon his life. According to the first chapter of Job, he lost every natural thing that he owned. The Bible says that he was devastated. So devastated that he shaved his head, so I imagine it looked a little bit like mine. He sat down in ashes, which was an outward demonstration of the profound grief and despair. Job was depressed. Job was oppressed. And later, Job became physically sick and spiritually weak. At the end of the first chapter, Job was good, right? Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But somewhere along the way, Job could feel the pressure in his body, in his soul, in his spirit. He was in such despair that his words indicate that he lost hope. In Job 3:3, he said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Then in verse 11, he says, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Job was, in essence, regretting the day he was born. He was distraught, discouraged, and perhaps suicidal. Job's wife told him that he should just curse God and die. Three of his good friends, somebody say good friends. This is what good, we gotta watch those good friends. Three of his good friends, Eliphaz, a Temanite, Bildad, a Shuhite, and Zophar, a Namathite, came to comfort and mourn with him, but something happened along the way. And their comforting turned into allegations of wrongdoing. Right. They tried to convince him that he had done something wrong, which is why God was punishing him. But regardless of how bad Job felt, regardless of how bad the situation was, regardless of how much he had lost, regardless of what his wife and his friends said, Job held on to his relationship with God. He never stopped trusting God. Hallelujah. In 13 and 15, Job said, though you slay, yet will I trust him. Early in Job's trial, he was ready to throw in the towel and just give up. But something happened along the journey. God strengthened him and he regained his hope. Job got up from the ashes, dusted himself off, took a shower, put on some clean clothes, let his hair grow back, and decided, I'm not going out like this. I can imagine that as Job was talking to himself, he then began to talk to the Lord, and he said, if the Lord blessed me once, he can bless me again. My wife and my friends are not giving me the support that I need, but I made up in my mind, somebody say, I made up in my mind, stay with the Lord. I'm going to fight a good fight of faith. I'm going to talk. I know that they're talking about me in town. They scandalizing my name. They even lying on my friends. They the only ones lying on me. People are mocking me instead of praying for me. But that's all right because I'm going to stay with the Lord. God will never leave me nor forsake me. I can hear him encouraging himself in the Lord. I can hear him having a Ziklag experience. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of y'all know about Ziklag. I believe he just said to himself, you know what? It's like God is like all state. As long as I'm in his hands, I'm in some mighty good hands. And so Job got up from his situation. He got up from his depression. He got up from his despair. He got up from his misery. He got up from his sickness. He got up from his suicidal state. And he began to rebuild and regain what he had lost. When you get sick and tired of what the devil is doing to you, I believe you will do just like Job. I believe you will get up and you will shake yourself. And you will do like that prodigal son. And you will come to yourself. And you will say, I'm not taking this mess from the devil anymore. Come on, clap your hands and give God some praise. Listen, let me fast forward. When we get to the last chapter, y'all sit down just a minute. I'm going to close in a minute. When we get to the last chapter, Job, someway, somehow, it said the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. For the Bible says he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 cows, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses. And if you do the math and go back to chapter 1, you'll find out that God gave him double what he had before his trouble started. Yes, my God. And just to sweeten the blessing, somebody say sweeten.
Sweet.
Just to sweeten the blessing, God gave him 7 more sons and 3 more daughters that he had lost tragically. Tell somebody, I sure could use double for my trouble. Listen, if you find yourself in a Job-like situation. I just want to tell you what you need to do right now. And if I'm not talking to you, you probably have some friends who are just like Job. They may not have shaved their head. They may not have ripped their clothes, but they're in the same state. Listen, this is what you can tell them. Get up from where you are. Dust yourself off. Regain your hope. Regain your faith. And rebuild your reputation. Rebuild your wealth. Rebuild your health. Rebuild your relationships. Rebuild your spiritual life. She wasn't quite like Job because she didn't lose hope. I love me some Job, but this woman, there's something about them women, y'all. My God, she didn't lose hope. She went through this period for 12 years in her life. Some of us can't take 12 minutes. We can't take 12 days. But this woman took 12 years. And the Bible lets us know that she had spent all that she had. She went to the doctors. She went to the counselors. And she spent all that she had. But she had one more card to play. She heard about this man called Jesus. He was coming to her town. She heard that he was giving blind. He was giving sight to the blind. He was healing lame men. They come out of mama's womb. They couldn't walk until they came in touch with Jesus. Yes, he did. This woman heard about Jesus. And she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And some of us keep sitting around waiting on Jesus to come to our house. But I'm here to tell you, he's waiting on you to come to his house. He's waiting on you to get up off your do-nothing self. Oh, let me be nice. He's waiting on you because I know you're tired. But God is looking for somebody who don't mind getting in the press. This is press time. The Bible says that when Jesus came through, the woman pressed away. She didn't care about the customs of that day, said that she was unclean. Everything she touched was unclean. When she sat on the sofa, it was unclean. When she laid on the bed, it was unclean. When she sat at the dinner table, the silverware she touched was unclean. But she didn't care. The custom said that you're supposed to stay where you are because you're unclean. But she broke all the customs and she pressed away because Jesus was coming through the town. She had hope. She said, I hope I can see him. I hope I can get through the crowd. But her faith made her walk. Her faith made her run. Her faith made her reach out. And I just believe that God wants us to reach out and touch his hand at least every once in a while. for not letting problems get him down. He was so close with God that when problems came to his house, he just began to praise God. When problems showed up, the preacher had a habit of just jumping. And so one day, let me, wait. I got a part right there. I feel the Spirit of God. It's easy to jump. It's easy to praise. It's easy to worship when everything is going all right. Am I telling the truth? Am I talking to anybody in here? As long as everything's all right, I can easily lift my hands. I mean, ain't even no bend in my arm. I go straight up, praise God. But let trouble show up at your house, and then we're going to see how much Jesus. But this preacher had a habit of jumping his way through problems. But one day, the preacher lost his job, and he began to jump. With no job, the preacher couldn't pay his bills, and he turned off his gas. He turned off his electricity, and the preacher just began to jump. Well, things got worse. As fate would have it, the preacher's home went into foreclosure. And if that wasn't bad enough, he found out in a routine checkup that he had cancer. And before he could leave the doctor's office, he just began to jump. The next day, this preacher went to the church. And when they opened up the floor for testimony service, he jumped up and he began to testify to the goodness of the Lord. And then when he got done, he just began to jump. Yeah. Now some of the members were listening and they were watching and they were trying to figure out, how can he be going through all of that stuff and yet, praise God, he's got a lot of nerve, he's got a lot of audacity. How can he be that happy? He must be faking. He must not be telling the truth. We can't believe that he's that happy. And so one of them got up some nerve and he went to the preacher and he said, "Brother preacher, I just need to know, how can you go through all of these trials and all of these tribulations and stand there and jump like you don't have a care in the world?" And he said, "I give you three good reasons. Number one, Luke 6:23 says, 'Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Your reward is great in heaven.' So I jump because the Bible tells me to leap when I need joy. I am maddened. It is just out of my reach. And I begin to jump so I can get me some joy." Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy
to save us for something greater called a resurrection. I'm not defined by my problems. I'm defined by the word of God. I am what the word says. I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. I am more than a conqueror. I see the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some yoke being destroyed. There's some yoke being destroyed. There's folks being healed. I feel it in my spirit. There's folks being healed of diseases that the doctor said you can't be cured from. But the devil is a liar. I didn't say the doctor was a liar. I said the devil is a liar. The doctor can only report what he knows. But I know a man from Galilee. I know a man from Galilee. They said you can't walk on water, but he did. They said you can't get up once you did, but he did. I know the man. Anybody know the man from Galilee? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hold on a minute. What are you? Said, I may not feel like it, but thank you for my healing. Hallelujah. The doctor may say something else, but thank you for my healing. Is that clear? What you gonna say? It's a test. What you gonna say? All right. Say, Lord, thank you. I'll say it like you. See, you gotta believe it. It's according to your faith, not my faith. So I got up in the morning. I said, God, thank you for my healing. I didn't even ask him to heal me. I said, thank you for my healing. That's a whole message right there. That'll preach right there. Thank you for my healing. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands and give God some praise. I'm going to tell you the truth. This man was healed before he even got up here. This man was healed before I even laid hands on him. He was healed when he was coming. I felt the power of God moving this man. That's why I didn't mind taking his pain from him. I knew God would heal. I knew God would touch him. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. We're going to let you go. Hallelujah. I have some glasses around here somewhere. I see y'all. I just don't see you very clearly. I want you to know, saints of God, that sometimes we have to use unconventional methods to get a breakthrough. I don't know if I got a witness here, but God has had me do some strange stuff. I hope he don't ask me to spit on the ground. But if he does, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Because God is in the blessing business, and I'm in the receiving business. He want to bless me, I let him bless me. But the Bible says count up the cost. You've got to be ready to count up the cost, because it's going to cost you something. Salvation is free, everything else costs you. Praise the Lord. So I want you to be encouraged tonight, and I want you to remember, hope precedes faith. Hope starts up here And it works its way down, and by the time it hits your belly, it turns into faith. And it gives you the wherewithal, the knowledge, the wisdom to start putting one foot in front of the other one. If you wait until you got the whole 100% of the solution, you're going to miss your blessing. God's going to drop that blessing with your name on it right there, and you're going to be standing over here. He said, I told you to go over there. But you sitting up and talking about I'm waiting on God, and God's waiting on you. Saints of God, thank you for your patience tonight. Keep us in your prayers that God will continue to have his way. And not just bless me. I didn't come here to get blessed. I was blessed before I got here.
Yes, sir.
I came to be a blessing. We need to pray for saints, not just here, but everywhere.
Yes.
The devil's still going to and fro.
Yes.
His demons are still going to and fro. And sometimes they come sit right up on the front bench. And unfortunately, sometimes they sit right up here in the pulpit. But the devil is a liar. And he is being exposed. Don't fool yourself. He is being exposed. And we're kicking him out, praise God. God bless you tonight. I'm going to turn it back over to the Bishop, the great Bishop William Moore. Let's say amen for him as he comes.